For the rest of us, would you turn with me to Joel chapter 3 in your Bibles? Joel chapter 3, I want to talk with you today about independence. That'd be appropriate today, right?
Yeah.
While you're turning there, I got to share something with you. Kind of cute. My grandson come to our picnic, our 4th of July picnic yesterday, and said that he had something he wanted to ask me that a co-worker had asked him. He said, why couldn't Cain please God? I thought about it. I'm supposed to be a spiritual giant. I'm a pastor. I said, no easy answer. I mean, I couldn't give him the long answer why he couldn't please him, but that wasn't what he was looking for. So I just shrugged my shoulders and said, I don't know. He said, because he wasn't able. How do you argue with that? It's right on the mark. Oh, I tell you. So I said to him at that point, that's pulpit worthy.
Yes.
So we're going to read in Joel 3, our text is verse 4 through 16. Beginning to read. Now what have you against me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all you regions of Philistia? Are you repaying me for something I have done? If you are paying me back, I will swiftly and speedily return on your own heads what you have done. For you took my silver and my gold and carried off my finest treasures to your temples. You sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks, that you might send them far from their homeland. See, I am going to rouse them out of the places to which you sold them, and I will return on your own heads what you have done. I will sell your sons and daughters to the people of Judah. They will sell them to the Sabians, a nation far away. The Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Rouse the warriors. Let all the fighting men draw near and attack. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weaklings say, I am strong. Come quickly, all you nations, from every side, and assemble there. Bring down your warriors, O Lord. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow. So great is their wickedness. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will be darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We pray, Lord, that as the seed of your word is sown today, that, Lord, you will watch over your word to perform it. Would you put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words you've ordained for today, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So yesterday and today, we celebrated 250 years as a nation. Never before has a democracy lasted even 200 years. It is only by the hand of God and His grace, as my wife said earlier, she was right on, it's only by His grace that we have made it this far. I believe it is only because of the remnant that God has reserved for himself in this nation, that this nation hasn't already been destroyed. But when people continue to be stiff-necked and turn away from God, there is always a day of reckoning that does come. So we need to be praying for revival in this land. That hard hearts would be turned, hearts of stone would be turned back into hearts of flesh. That's what it tells us in Scripture. We need to be fervent in prayer. My wife talked about prayer and the prayer groups, the lighthouses of prayer that we have, and that this church has always been a church of prayer. That's a fact. And we had best be really pressing in for our nation. Our problem is, in our nation, is we have gotten carried away by our independence. And so that's the foundation of what I want to talk with you about today, is how far our nation has gone away from God. And we need to get back as a nation. 50 years ago in 1976, it was my first year out of high school, and that was the bicentennial. And Illinois, if you can imagine this, young people, check this out, printed all brand new license plates for everybody in the state of Illinois and shipped them out. And they were red, white, and blue, and said bicentennial. They were beautiful plates. How far our nation, how far the state of Illinois has backslid since 50 years ago. Now the state of Illinois is so broke they can't even afford to pay attention. We are ranked number 50 out of 50 states. We are so wrecked financially. I didn't see any red, white, and blue license plates for this 250-year celebration. What I did see running yesterday on some stations was Disney. And Disney is not anything like it was when Walt was alive. Disney has turned their back on God and is about everything that is anti-God. So what I'm saying to you is how far we have fallen as a nation in 50 years. In those 50 years that I've been alive to see. I shared a little bit of this with my family yesterday before we prayed and ate at our picnic. But, you know, when I look at how much it's changed, it really saddens me because it has not changed for the better, unfortunately. But Independence Day is the anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. It's a day every year that is set aside to celebrate our freedom. Independence. Here's a definition of independence. Free from the influence, control, or determination of another or others. Free from the rule of another, controlling or governing oneself. Free from influence, persuasion, or bias. This is all definition of independence. Isn't that interesting? Free from influence, persuasion, or bias. Have you looked at how many of those things are in our culture today? The influence that Satan has in this nation. The control of a backslidden government, government officials, relying on oneself or one's own abilities and judgments. Self-confident, self-reliant. It was still the definition of independence. I want to read that again because this is a big deal. Relying on oneself or one's own abilities and judgments. Self-confident, self-reliant. That's where we're at, and that's why we're in trouble. Because it came all about self instead of God. Self got on the throne of the people's hearts in this nation instead of God being on his throne. Does anybody agree with me? We've got to get back where Jesus Christ comes and takes the throne of our hearts, one by one in this nation. Even better if a sweeping move of God's Spirit sweeps thousands at a time into his kingdom. We need revival badly in this nation. We are called to be free. God made us, created us, to be free in him. In him. Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Yet another problem in our nation is exposed here. Too many people in our nation now use their freedom to indulge the sinful nature. We just had Pride Month, the month of June. That is like taking a stick and poking it in God's eye. People shaking their fist at God and willing to call what God calls sin good. Having the audacity to call what God calls sin good. This is the state of our nation. And the list goes on and on of the sin that is rampant in our culture. It has become accepted sin. Churches now all over this nation are embracing the accepted sin. All in the name of fairness and love. So we're not supposed to use our freedom to indulge the sinful nature. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 17. We're going to be looking into a lot of scriptures, guys. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. Says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the king." Now we are only able to truly honor the king if the king is God-fearing and not exercising evil. There are people that are well-meaning believers that believe we're supposed to just submit no matter what the powers that be do. And that is not what Scripture is telling us. We are first supposed to be submitted to God. And then as far as we are able, We are to submit to those who are in authority over us. Am I making sense to somebody? There are a lot of well-meaning Christians that have been deceived by the enemy and think that no matter what, God has called us to just shut our mouths and submit to the powers that be, no matter what, no matter how evil, and that is ridiculous.
Yes.
We must exercise the wisdom that we have and open our mouth. We need to know through discernment when it's time to speak up and when it's time to be quiet. And I want to tell you something. It's time we speak up in this nation. The church in this nation has lost its voice, and she better get it back. The preachers had better start preaching the Word of God instead of a watered-down version of it. We've got to get back there. The pastors, the evangelists. God will create a hunger in the hearts of the people for the pure Word of God. We need to be praying that God will bring forth laborers that will preach it. It's got to be preached before the people can receive it. Right? Rather to serve one another in love. Ultimately, that's what we're supposed to be doing in the church. Serve one another with love. Grace is not only the power that saves you, it is the power of God that we must learn to live in if we are going to live victoriously. I have an acronym for grace, and it goes as follows: God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Pretty good acronym for grace. It works pretty good. Faith is not what buys God's blessing. It is the hand that receives it. Faith is the hands that receive the goodness of God. God holds out His goodness, and it's by faith with those hands we receive it. It does no good for anyone to promise us something and hold it out to us if we don't have sense enough to receive it. God is saying, don't go that way. This is the way. Walk in it. And many people have turned a deaf ear, listening to what the world has to say and walking on a path that leads to death and destruction. This is where our nation has come to. Like I said, in 50 years of my adulthood, I've seen it fall this far. I don't have another 50 years to be here at the Tricentennial. That would make me 120 years old. Pretty sure that's not going to happen. You want the truth? I'm not too sure that we'll be here in 50 years anyway, if I could live that long. Time is running out. We cannot continue to act independent from God. People have been taught, persuaded into thinking that independence means you don't have to listen to anybody. Let's just do away with all the police in our country. That's just brilliant. We'll get rid of the police. Come on, you've heard it, I hope. Let's get rid of the police, and we'll replace them with counselors. We'll talk to the criminals. Beautiful. There's a plan that'll work. Now you know why I got guns. To protect my family. If people actually go that far and get that crazy, you got to have a way to protect your family from home invasion. But here's the deal. Every one of our homes has already been invaded by Satan. We have already been through home invasion. It's time to kick into the curb. How about it? Let's do it. When we continue to act independent from God and are self-willed and what he calls stiff-necked, and by the way, whenever God called a people stiff-necked people in the Word, it didn't end well. Every single time. When we do act independent from God, judgment will come. And rightly so. Because we need correcting. I believe judgment has already begun. I've shared that with you before. When I say that, I'm not saying God has stopped loving us or loving our nation. I'm saying because he loves us, he's going to allow us to go through some stuff. And it's not going to be pleasant. Genesis 18, 24 through 25. Genesis 18, 24 through 25. It says, what if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And then Psalm 58, verse 11. Then men will say, surely the righteous still are rewarded. Surely there is a God who judges the earth. And then Psalm 96, verse 13. I'm going kind of fast. I got a lot of scripture. It says, they will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. And then Gospel of John 5, 22 through 23. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus, the one who died for us to redeem us from the sin in our lives, him, he is also the judge. The Father has passed off that responsibility to our Savior Jesus Christ. So he gave his life to save lost humanity, and for everyone that would repent and receive him, he gave the right to be the children of God. But he's also the judge. He's the one that says, away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. And the Greek word that is translated new there has a very intimate connotation. So it's not, oh yeah, you know, me and him, we be pals when we don't spend no time with him. Like people we call our friends, but we hardly ever spent much time with. Or friends from a distance, like friends on Facebook. the intimate. Like in those days, sitting down and having a meal together at someone's home was the highest form of fellowship. Intimate. Sin creates a harvest. Our nation is beginning to reap that harvest. God gave us a reprieve from Satan's agenda for this nation, whether you believe it or not, using Donald Trump. I don't care, that's my opinion. If you don't want to believe it, that's fine. But when you look at the alternative and the evil that the other side has been working, and also all the roadblocks they're constantly throwing in front of someone that wants to do righteous things in our nation, you need to pay attention. When Donald Trump got in the first time, God spoke to me that it would be a window. It would be a time where God would give us a reprieve and a time for repentance. Well, now it's the second term, and I'm starting to freak out because I still don't see people falling before God and repenting, which is what this nation needs. So I'm pretty freaked out by that. I love my nation. That's why I stand before you proudly on the 4th of July wearing a flag. If I were shorter, I could hide among the bunties. So, sin's harvest. When we begin to harvest from sin, we experience disappointments. Isaiah 17, verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 17, verses 10 and 11 says, "You have forgotten God, your Savior." I could stop right there. That'll preach. I could spend the rest of my time right there. "You have forgotten God, your Savior, Jesus Christ. You have not remembered the rock, your fortress. Therefore, though you set out the finest plants and plant imported vines, though on the day you set them out, you make them grow, and on the morning when you plant them, you bring them to bud, yet the harvest will be as nothing in the day of disease and incurable pain." Planting but never harvesting. Reaping sickness and pain. That's what this is talking about. Disappointments. Also, you experience no profit. Nothing profitable. Jeremiah 12 and verse 13. Jeremiah 12 and verse 13 says, "They will sow wheat, but reap thorns. They will wear themselves out, but gain nothing. So bear the shame of your harvest because of the Lord's fierce anger." 250 years, this nation has always known more than enough. If our nation stays on the path she's on, this nation will know less than enough. You don't believe me? Read your Bible. It's happened throughout history when people become stiff-necked and will not turn back to God, even though He sends judgment that should get them to turn back. Instead of repenting, they shake their fists at God. Next one is Judgment Day. Joel 3, verses 12 and 13. Let the nations be roused, let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full, and the vats overflow. So great is their wickedness. Because God has not allowed this nation to fall in spite of the way she has turned from God. And when I say she, I'm talking about the people. Because nations are made up of people, and it's the people that have turned from God. Out of a rotten culture boils up rotten leadership. That's biblical. It doesn't say it in those terms. That's a waning. But it means the same thing. Judgment eventually comes. There is sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Galatians 6, 7 and 8 says, do not be deceived. So many people are deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. Now this is God's word I'm reading. This is not my opinion. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Not a lot of room for error there. It's pretty plain. At least it is to me. Do not be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. People of our nation have been going further and further and further away from God and becoming more and more evil. And because God has not taken them out yet, they've got this whole God's a good old boy mentality. Well, he hasn't done anything, so I guess he don't care. Wrong. Wrong. Last one is fullness of time. Fullness of time. Revelation 14, verses 14 and 15. Revelation 14, verses 14 and 15. I looked, and there before me was a white cloud. And seated on the cloud was one like a son of man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Fullness of time. So, why does judgment come? We'll wrap up with this. Well, there are many reasons, but there is one that stands out above every reason for why judgment comes. Joel 3 and verse 17 gives us this. Joel 3 and verse 17. It says, then you will know that I, the Lord your God, dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Jerusalem will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her. Never again So the whole purpose, if you look throughout the Word of God, and you look through and you read the prophets, both minor and major prophets, you read those, and you see over and over and over where judgment is prophesied, and it is followed up with these words, "Then you will know that I am God." That is the stand above everyone else, the pinnacle of the reasons for judgment. So that then we will know that He is God. Because people have forgotten. And they have been gods unto themselves. I, me, me. When it's supposed to be Jesus Christ. Come along. And allowing Him lordship of our individual lives. Yes, it's that important. Not just Savior. Lord. See, lordship indicates that there's a major change in our lives. And we start living different, not because we're trying to earn our salvation, but because we are saved. If the fruit is rotten, so is the testimony. There are a lot of people that today, in this nation, we got some real rotten fruit, but yet we'll tell you, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian." Really? Some people have told me that. I'm so shocked. I don't even know how to respond. Well, let me think. You've been married and divorced 6 times. And what's the common denominator there? You party like there's no end. You swear like there's no judgment on our mouths. You stab your neighbor in the back instead of loving them. And you tell me you're a Christian. Is somebody picking up what I'm putting down? The call is this. We need to turn back to God. We need to get a revelation. Then you will know that I am God. God is righteous, just, and holy. And we're not. God is all those things, and we're not. It's why we needed Jesus. There's a reason that it says in Romans 3:23, "For all sin and fall short of the glory of God." And there's a reason that God saw to it that Romans 6:23 is in the Bible. He saw to it. And it tells us that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's vitally important that we all submit to Him, truly submit to Him, repent of our sins, and give our lives over to Him. No more I, me, 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 but Him. Living our lives for Him. Marching to His marching orders. Not about what I want, but what God wants to use me for. It's where we need to get back to. Is there anyone this morning that has never made Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, but this has clicked with you today? I would invite you right now to come walk up here. I'll meet you down here, and I'll pray with you today and agree with you that today you enter a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not entering religion, Not necessarily joining the church, but getting a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is the only way to salvation. Is there anyone today? I know I did some fast, hard preaching today, but that's what God put on my heart. All right, let's all stand together. There it is. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.